You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.
I got stuff for you.
Holy moly.
I need to get some snakes and release them around my house.
But I love eating people. I love eating kids.
These guys are the scientists of the supernatural, lecturers leaving lessons for inquiring laymen. They are applying the scientific method to a world that baffles science. They are the cryptids of the corn.
Every day that you open your mouth,
I know, right?
I'm more convinced that you're abducted by aliens.
No.
And it just stood up. I mean, it just like kept going and going. And she goes, what the?
These are idiots.
I was laughing reading this because I already knew how you would feel.
Idiot. What part of the story fits your balloon?
Well,
this isn't a UFO. Yeah.
But who else has big black wings and red eyes?
Batman.
Well, Mothman.
Oh, yeah, Mothman.
Well, everyone, I think we know exactly what it is. So say it all with me. It was the Sandhill Crane.
Would you try it?
No.
You wouldn't eat it?
No.
Why?
Because they're probably toxic.
There'd be a lot of poop in my pants. Seen a 6-foot alligator go swinging through the air and slam into a tree?
Hello, hello, and welcome back to Cryptids of the Corn Podcast. I am the great and powerful Mr. E.
I'm J Clone 008.
Yes. Yes, you are. No, it's Emily's back.
Yeah.
Excited?
Yeah, Shady's back. Tell a friend.
What? I don't know your modern music stuff.
It's not even that modern. It's before.
Is this that Dead Skull guy you listen to?
Sleep Token?
No. Yeah.
No.
Okay.
It was never mind. Eminem. No.
Is it before John Denver? That's kind of the genre of music I've been stuck in for a while. Anyways, today, I mean, so much big news is about to be shared on the show. So real quick, before we introduce our special guest. Oh, Emily's dropping stuff already. It's going to be a fun episode. And hitting the mic stand. Emily, this is going to be one of those episodes we have to delete again.
Yeah.
Are you laughing?
I found the J part. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'll drop the mic too later.
That was a bad time. No, so we met this man at the first conference we ever went to. And we've been friends with him ever since. He and his family and all the stuff he's created and done through his life is amazing. And he's an honor to call him a friend. So I want to take a second and welcome illustrator, author, t-shirt slinger, David Hardy to the podcast.
Yay.
What's up, cryptids of the corn? I am so excited to finally be on a podcast. Like, this is it. I've been dreaming of this moment for many, many years, and here it is. I am finally, officially on the podcast. I have arrived.
There we go. Exciting times. And, yeah, so you know how we do these things. We just kind of free talk and let slip before we got rocking and rolling all kinds of stuff beforehand that I'm interested in that I didn't even realize. But first and foremost, why don't you go ahead and plug your socials and all that stuff?
Absolutely. Come find me at Cryptid Empire. This is brand new, my brand new rebranding. Cryptid Empire on Instagram, soon to be Facebook and all the other stuff, and cryptidempire.com for all of your amazing cryptid t-shirt needs. And my brand new fully illustrated cryptid book, Appalachian Cryptids and Creatures. Oh, I'm so excited. I've been working on this thing for about a year, and it finally came out like last week, and I am stoked. This is not self-published. This is through a publisher. Courier Press picked me up, and wow, it's been a great journey. I've always wanted to publish a book ever since I was a kid. I've been drawing my entire life, and finally was able to get published. About a year ago, I put a little note on my bathroom mirror that said, get published or die trying. So this is my first endeavor. This is not going to be the only endeavor. I've got plans, big plans. But this is the first. And super excited about that. Do you want me to tell the story of how the book came to be?
Sure. You keep rocking and rolling. Okay. I'm going through the book right now in my hands.
Sweet. Perfect. So I sell t-shirts at comic book conventions. I started selling t-shirts at comic book conventions when I was young. And my most popular t-shirt was always this Bigfoot t-shirt that said, I believe. And it wasn't just your standard like clip art Bigfoot, but it was this big, massive, huge, furry. He looked like he could actually rip you in half Bigfoot, right? And so people kept buying it. Like I sold a bunch of different things. But everybody kept buying it. Well, finally, what happened, I'm at these cons, and these people came up to me, and they go, have you ever considered doing Mothman? Now, again, this is like a decade ago, and I'm like, I honestly don't know what Mothman is. I gotta be honest, I have no idea. So I go and I Google it, look it up, and I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. I think I could draw an awesome Mothman. So I drew this Mothman, and put it on t-shirt, and it exploded. Now, I'm selling in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, right? So it's close enough to West Virginia. And it's Appalachian. People were just, I mean, they couldn't get enough. I sell out. I go to next con. I sell out. I go to next con. I sell out. Here's the craziest thing. I'm sitting at a con, and I was tired because, like, oh, my goodness, it's been this long weekend. And I see this guy as I look up. This guy is standing in front of me with, like, people around him. And my first thought in my head was, wow, that guy kind of looks like Danny Trejo from all the Machete movies. And you guys, you know him.
Oh, yeah.
Danny Trejo. He's just been in everything. And I go, that kind of looks like, wait a second. That's Danny Trejo in my booth. Now, he's very short. I don't know if you know this or not. Like I forget the official. He's like 5'4" or 5'5".
Oh, wow.
He is very, very short. He comes over. Buys a t-shirt. He bought 3 t-shirts actually, but he buys a Mothman shirt, and I get a picture with him, and I lean in him, and I go, Danny, thank you so much. He goes, you have the best t-shirts, man. I'm like, those words changed my life. Like, I'm like, oh my goodness. I get this t-shirt, I get this picture of him with the t-shirt, post it online. It blows up like crazy. It goes, for me, borderline viral. Well, what happened was it garnered the attention of the Mothman Museum. So the Mothman Museum in Point Pleasant, West Virginia, Jeff Walmsley reaches out to me and says, I want to sell your shirts. And I'm like, this is absolutely amazing. So I start selling. I have a Mountain Dew Mothman t-shirt that has gone incredibly well, like really like crazy. And the Mothman Museum just keeps buying my stuff, and they sell and sell and sell. I am the number one t-shirt sales person for the Mothman Museum. And because things have gone so well, they said, hey, have you ever considered doing a book? And I was like, yes, I have. Well, Jeff has a publisher, Courier Press, otherwise known as West Virginia Book Company. And we got hooked up. Put everything together over a grueling year of putting this book together. 44 different cryptids or different drawings of cryptids, all Appalachian. And finally, it sees the light of print. super excited. It's flying off the shelves right now. It's on Amazon too. So it's on Amazon. It's on my website. And I've been signing books. This is a dream come true. Just signing like hundreds of books all over the place, shipping them out. I just keep shipping them out. It's like every single day. It's like, ah, oh, here's another batch. Here's another batch. But Justin, I promised you that I was going to send you a book because you are in the acknowledgments. Without you, and without you and Jay Clone and Emily, without Cryptids of the Corn, this book never happened. You guys have been such an inspiration. And I like, he told me in the acknowledgments that I could only put, I only got one page. He said, my publisher said, you can only get one page. It was hard to, you know, choose, but you guys are at the top of the list. You guys were fantastic. This podcast absolutely changed the entire way that I thought about, first off, reality, but cryptids, the paranormal, and then the way that you view everything through the lens of a scientist. It's just been awesome. So I just want to say thank you so much for everything that you have done and everything you're going to continue doing.
Well, thank you. It is a huge honor. It was a surprise when I got the book and I was looking through and I seen it. And just thank you very much. It is an honor to be included.
When you get to go through it, because I mean, you just got it.
Yeah.
I think you just got it like yesterday or something.
Yes.
When you get a chance to go through it, you're going to go, wait, that's my theory. some of these theories, I have some hot takes in here. So not only is it incredibly well illustrated, but there are some very, very hot takes.
The couple I've gone through already are very fun.
What'd you say?
I said the couple I've gone through already are very fun.
Mm-hmm.
This is a fun book, everybody.
I got them all. And I got some weird ones. I'm hoping that I can almost guarantee you, if you're out there listening and you're like, I've heard of every single cryptid out there, there is no way I've heard every single one. I think I got some that are very, very niche, like very, 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 very specific. Because, see, I could only do cryptids from Appalachia and in Appalachia adjacent, because really you have to. So it's like kind of like Ohio, Pennsylvania, and then obviously West Virginia. And it's, I mean, we've got the bigs, right? We got Mothman. We've got the Grafton Monster. We've got the Flatwoods Monster. But then after that, it gets a little blurry, right? But we got, you know, Snallygaster, Duwayo. I spent a good bit of time on Duwayo. And I would like to say that I highlighted the eternal battle between Duwayo and Snallygaster probably more than most authors have. And you can kind of figure out, you know, take a look at that and see what you think of that. But there's some cool stuff, some different things. I think I've got the most dynamic frogman drawing ever. Frogman is literally leaping off the page at us. So there's some really, really cool ones.
I mean, I love the grass man too.
I really like the squonk.
Oh, you of course you like the squonk.
Oh, squonk. My boy Squonk, I love, and Squonkapalooza is one of the best events I have. Like, it's like so awesome. And being able to put Squonk in a book, dude, you know that there's like books popping up now about Squonk. Like, I think Ron Murphy's writing one, right?
Yes.
So like, it's so funny. I told Joe and Lisa that they have not only revitalized Squonk, they've almost recreated Squonk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no doubt about it. And I think it's almost done single-handedly. But, I mean, it's just blown up. Squonk love. You know what I mean?
I will say, I've gone through just the titles, just looking through. And you have two I've never heard of.
Oh, what's
you? Are you like the calling? Apple Witch?
No.
Oh.
You want me to tell you what they are, or do you want everybody to be surprised?
Well, I want to know which ones you haven't heard of. Go ahead. No, I don't care about surprises.
All right, let's see.
I hate surprises, so.
Now, the Beast of Berkeley, it sounded familiar to me, but I don't remember this one ever.
Uh-huh.
And that'll probably be an episode very soon now.
Yeah, take a look at it. It's cool. Now, there's various variations, but, you know, and it's funny because a decent bit of these got popular because of Fallout 76.
Yes.
Yeah. So Fallout 76 made some of these, at least in title, these cryptids popular. So, but it's not the version that's in the game. This is the version that is recounted for us in various spaces on the internet, as you know.
I'm trying to find the other one. I just seen it a second ago. I'm like, I don't know that name. Okay. It'll be a second. Now I got to go back That's through. Right. But no, this is, the art's amazing. I mean, are all these going to eventually be on a t-shirt? You're going to have 44 or more t-shirts?
I've got 26 different cryptid shirts, which is a lot when it comes to inventory. I'm going to be honest with you. My high sellers are Bigfoot and Mothman and variations of Bigfoot and Mothman. It's kind of like when, if you're into comic books and you like action figures, when you go into like to buy a DC action figure and you're like, why are there so many Batman, Superman and Wonder Woman figures?
That's what sells.
On Marvel, why are there so many Spider-Man figures or Spider-Man and Wolverine? Those are, you know, Spider-Man, Wolverine or Batman, Superman, because that's what people buy. And so like, some of these shirts is real funny. I took some leaps with some of these characters, and they don't sell, you know, a whole lot. So some of them, now I like them, like Sheep Squatch. I made a Sheep Squatch shirt. It's very niche, right? Like, this is the definition of a niche cryptid shirt. If you're wearing Sheep Squatch, you are definitely an Appalachian cryptid lover. You know what I mean? So some of that, but you know, it's funny, Flatwoods Monster went really well. So I did that one, and it's been going, you know, it goes only in a certain area. Mothman sells big. I think Bigfoot, there's quite a bit of saturation in the market with Bigfoot stuff, but I try to do the coolest Bigfoot shirts that I can. And I'll tell you what, this was really awesome. I was at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference, and a personal hero of mine, Seth Breedlove, came up to the booth totally of his own accord and bought a Bigfoot shirt. Actually, while I wasn't there, off of my wife, he bought a Bigfoot and Flatwoods Monster shirt and wore them for one of his speaking engagements. That was cool.
That's awesome.
You know what I mean? That's fun to see, you know, heroes in the field doing that stuff.
So Jay wrote down a question.
Yes.
Because he wasn't able to be here tonight. He wanted to know if you really like drawing, or if you care for drawing teeth and claws.
I feel like I was born to draw teeth and claws. Teeth, claws, and fur. That's like, you know, pretty much most of these cryptids are just, you know, teeth, claws, and fur in different arrangements.
I mean, that's accurate.
Well, yeah, but the fun part is like, many of these, that's what it is. It's, some of this, it just looks like a blob. And it's just a blob of teeth, claws, and fur. You know what I mean? So yeah, I do. I really like it. I don't know. It's probably weird. Probably goes back to my Appalachian roots. I was born near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Actually, really close to Ohio. I'm like 5 minutes from Ohio. Closer to Youngstown, really. But I grew up on a farm, and you know, just always was that was part of my experience. You know, you're seeing all the goats and the, we didn't have sheep. We had goats and we had cattle, you know, and all that stuff. And so like horns and teeth and claws, it's just always kind of a part of things. And you'd always hear, you know, you'd always hear the coyotes in the woods and all the different stuff. So there was always like this kind of healthy or maybe unhealthy fear of those things, you know, but you'd always hear that. And your imagination could run wild a little bit, you know? So, yeah.
So, follow-up question. What, I guess it's a two-parter. What was the hardest cryptid to do for the book? Specifically the book, because I know you had a couple that you've done before the book, you know? And then, you know, and then what was the easiest for the book?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny. Grafton Monster is hard because the description is so strange. You know, it's like, it's got no head. There's so many different ways you can go with it. And I think Grafton Monster was just hard because it's not hard to draw. It's kind of like a big blob.
Yeah.
But it's like, how do I make this, you know, interesting? I think, you know, Agua with two heads was interesting because anything, any creature that does not fit on the anatomical expectations that we have, it's hard to recreate that, right? It's interesting when you're adding heads, you're doing some of those things. Those, it's strange. Skinwalker, See, the book, I tried to keep the book definitely PG-13, more almost PG if I could, because I wanted to, but like Skinwalker, you could make that really, really, really creepy. And I tried to dial it back a little bit, but then there's so many variations of like what a Skinwalker would look like. But yeah, some of the harder ones would be those. My Vegetable Man one was really intriguing.
I love that one.
I was trying to do a different version of Vegetable Man. Like, now the funny part is I've seen all the cartoony versions, so I was trying to do a more creepy version of Vegetable Man.
And I think that would be more lore accurate anyways from the encounters with him. Because he was not pleasant to look at.
No, and then he's, you know, attacking him with his giant, you know, fingers of doom.
The suckers.
You know what I mean? The sucker fingers, yeah.
So who do you think was the easiest? Who spoke to you and just came to you?
Yeah, I mean, you know what's funny? Squonk. Squonk was so easy to do. So I have a pug, and her name is Sparkles, and she's so ugly, she's cute. And so that's kind of like Squonk. Squonk is so ugly, he's cute, right? Mm-hmm. So I sat down to do the ugliest thing imaginable. And I mean, you know, Squonk's got pus-filled lesions, and he's just, you know, furry, nasty, disgusting. And then you put it in the book, and I put it on a shirt, and people are like, aw, he's adorable. I'm like, he looks like a tumor. He looks like, I mean, it's funny, it was super easy. Like, for me, with all the high detail and, like, weird, creepy, furry things, it's just easy to draw. He's just like a little sack of flesh and goo. You know what I mean? So it was intriguing when I was doing the research on Squonk and writing on Squonk. I was trying to figure out if when Squonk dematerializes, like into the puddle, if he dies, you know, and really if scientifically there is no way to put him back together, you'd have to go woo woo for him to to come up somewhere else, or it'd be a portal. And so I went with the version, and it's somewhat controversial, when Squonk dematerializes and just bloop, he's gone. He's made the decision. It's all over. You know what I mean? So that's intriguing. You know, we'll see how people react to that one. But those would be some of the more intriguing ones. Wampus Cat wasn't too hard. But the six legs is, again, anatomically, when you start messing with stuff like that, it's like, okay, where do I put these other legs? You know, like, I know how to draw a panther, but I got to figure out how to make this work, you know, aesthetically. My whole goal with all of these cryptids was to do the coolest version possible, right? So to stay true to the, you know, descriptions that were given and all the different things, but also to make it look like something that if you saw in a comic book, you'd be like, okay, that's pretty cool. Or you'd wear in a t-shirt or have a sticker of and all the things. I am planning on making like prints and stickers of pretty much all of these.
That's so pretty good.
T-shirts are pretty high commitment, you know, because they're just expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
So like stickers are a little less, and then prints are actually not bad. You know, I can see people really enjoying prints.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say the wood booger has about the friendliest face out of all of them.
It looks like you.
Right.
The wood booger?
Yeah.
Oh, like, wow.
That's
ouch.
Mean.
That's harsh. Wood booger.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl. It's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl. Happy Friday. It's Jen. Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do it yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Gosh, Emily, geez. I was like, you finish the interview. I'm going to the room.
Some of my friends have pointed out that these cryptids look like our friends. They'll be like, hey, that guy looks like Dawn. And hey, that guy, you know. They're like, the goat man looks like Dawn. And I'm like, oh, that was not intentional, but okay, cool.
So you're Melon Head. We 100% know that guy. No, you know who it is.
I don't know.
If Jay was here, he would about pee himself. Yeah. I don't know. Because we know this guy 100%. There's a local that is this man.
Yeah. That's awesome. Maybe it is. Maybe he's secretly Melon Head and I
think he's like third generation.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so the Indescribable Octoman's another awesome one.
Yeah, that was fun. And the thing is, you can do whatever you want with that.
Yeah.
Because
massive eyes and tentacles.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's all it was.
Yep. Yep. I felt Jersey Devil was tough because there's so many iterations. And I wanted, you know, it felt like I've seen this so many times and I was trying to put my own spin on it and not make it too absurdly grotesque. Like, so being that I am also a Christian pastor,
yes,
and an evangelist who goes out and speaks and all these things, the funny part was, is like balancing, you know, these creatures with, I'm not looking to put like a pentagram, a 666
right,
on it
right,
and
right.
make him eating your baby. You know what I mean? So I'm just recounting the stories. I do say my disclaimer for all these cryptids is, listen, this is like a rogues gallery. This is a bestiary. I am not endorsing the things that some of these cryptids might do to you. So if you run into these cryptids in the woods, I wouldn't spend too much time talking to them. Maybe give us a picture. But a non-blurry picture, that would be great. But I am not sitting here endorsing the behaviors of all of these different cryptids because they probably don't like us, most of them, I would guess.
No, I agree. And then I seen the Bearilla.
Aha!
You'll have to get Wild Bill to sign a page of that for you.
I know, right?
You know, he was a hunter for the Bearilla.
Mm-hmm. I watched that episode.
Gosh, I love Bill. Bill, I know you.
Awesome.
I know you don't listen to podcasts, but if you ever listen to this, we love you.
We love you, Bill.
Uncle Wild Bill.
Uncle Wild Bill, yeah, for the kids. He has carried all of my kids around at conferences.
Yes, he at the same time.
Yeah, no, he has. Yeah, even people are like, "Where'd you get a baby?"
That's how it was at Crypticon.
I was going to ask you. So your two-headed turtle, you pronounced it one way. Will you say that way again?
Ogwa.
Is that how you? Yeah, is that how you pronounce it?
That's how I pronounce it, but I think you have a very different pronunciation.
The Ojwa.
And is that how you like? Which one is accurate? I haven't looked into it.
So now this comes
from other people that it's Ogwa.
Now I've heard Ojwa. I can't even tell you how many times. Mm-hmm. Now, and I think this comes from Native American languages being forced into English constructs.
Well, yeah, and we have no idea where even the name came from. The etymology of the name is border, you know, pretty much lost to us.
So we did an hour and a half episode for Tony on his Patreon about the Ojwa. Mm-hmm. And the name means like nine different things.
And yeah, like demon, water demon, right? Isn't like
that's the rough, like, demons? Yeah, that's like the kind of the thing. But it could also mean, what was it, a big rock at the bottom of the river. There was a bunch of stuff with it. And then there was two different tribes there. And they had both had a similar word that wasn't the same thing. So it was just this. Mm-hmm. And then the settlers came into the area. And they just kind of took a word and made it. So I've heard it Ojibwa, but I've heard it your way also many times. So I don't know what the correct way is, and I don't think we'll ever will. It just was interesting to me.
Yeah, people have been really excited about that one because it's niche enough that you don't see them all over the place.
Oh, no, you got a lot in here that doesn't get love very often.
Yeah.
I was going to say, the Grafton, the second one, I love it to death. So Grafton's one of my... Grafton's one of mine that is just a classic cryptid that didn't do anything.
Right.
That the town tried to murder. And the guy that originally reported it was horrified that he wished he never would have.
Right.
Because it's just like, they just chased it for a week and tried to shoot it. And it was just whistling and walking through the woods. It was sitting in the road one morning. But that second picture, I love it. I want that on a t-shirt. That, for me personally, that's just right. This big hulking thing that when you're looking at it looks scary, but the more you look at it, the more cute he looks. Like a big chicken nugget.
People have said that about my drawings. And like, it's like, initially it's jarring and then it's like endearing. And you know, it's intriguing how that happens.
Well, I think that's how a lot of these things actually looked. You know, you're scared of it. I mean, we talk about this all the time. We take for granted the appearance of animals that we know about. But if you had never seen a giraffe ever, you never heard of a giraffe.
Right.
And you come around the corner and there's this red spotted, long necked, horned head monster with a giant blue tongue. Nobody would ever believe you've seen that.
Nope.
That's a monster.
Right. Well, what year were gorillas discovered? I mean, it's relatively recent.
Yeah. It was early 19s. As in, they kind of knew about them beforehand, but they didn't believe them. So, you know, because there's always that stigma with like dumb natives. Like the Okapi wasn't until the 90s where we had them in captivity, much later. Right. And they said, yeah, that's the Valley of Giraffes in the Congo. And they're like, what are you talking about? Giraffes don't live in rainforest. Like, there are giraffes in there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was like 19, I want to say 16 or something like that, right around World War One.
Yeah. And that's crazy.
A roided out primate.
Mm-hmm.
You just imagine, like, oh, you've seen chimps. Yeah, just a chimp, right? And then it comes around the corner and it's just this 600-pound thing of muscle.
Yeah. So Justin, I have to ask you, have you participated in any of the online debates about the 100 men versus the gorilla?
Now, okay. I mean, no. It depends. Like, is it 100 guys all at one time just running at a gorilla?
100 guys all at one time, but with no weapons.
I mean, just the weight of 100 people would kill the gorilla.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody climbed on top of it and just like 100 men, so if you weigh 150 pounds, what is that? 1500 pounds or not 1500, 15,000 pounds?
I can't math.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's an elephant. Yeah. That's an elephant laying on top of the gorilla. Yeah, the gorilla would die. Now, if it's like fist fights, because I've seen a bunch of people online saying it's like 10 guys at a time running to try to fist fight it. No, that gorilla will rip you apart.
Right.
And my brother doesn't listen to the podcast. Forever, there's been the thing where, well, could a gorilla beat a grizzly bear? And, no, a grizzly bear is going to win. A grizzly bear is,
oh, yeah.
But for him, specific, because he doesn't listen, I always say the gorilla will win because it bothers him deeply. And he'll fight and argue, and I've been doing it for probably a decade now.
Mm-hmm.
So, Luke, if you ever listen, trolling you'll know the truth. He has the option to listen. Do you have a question, Emily?
So for like your art style, what has like gotten you to like want to draw that way? Like what
inspiration
inspired you?
Yeah.
Or like through school?
Comic books. I was so into comics as a kid. It was crazy. And you know, what happened was I just found acceptance. The endorphin rush when you would show somebody drawings and those sorts of things. Then I figured out, I was in like 11th grade when I found out about screen printing and kind of the process. And then I figured out, wow, I can put my drawing on a t-shirt and then like thousands of people are wearing my shirts, which is just amazing in and of itself. So I, my inspirations are like the big guys in comics: Todd McFarlane, Jim Lee, Joe Madureira from the 90s X-Men runs. Those are my guys, you know. And so I was always drawn to the hyper detailed stuff. All my stuff is hyper detailed, and I've really always enjoyed that. I'm not a subtle guy. There's nothing about me that's subtle. Everything's just like big and crazy and intricate. And so, and for me, it's like the more intricate, the better. The crazier it goes, the better. And so that's what's really drawn me to it. And I think people, for the most part, not always, but for the most part, people respect the time that it takes to do a highly detailed drawing. You know, you get more oohs and ahs if I spend 40 hours as opposed to 4. Sometimes, you know, you can pull it off really quickly and it's like, oh, that's great. But for the most part, for me, it's just, I just dump tons of time into it. And I love it. I get lost in it. I do all this stuff on my iPad and Procreate. I used to do pen and ink, but it's easier for screen printing because I can literally separate it out in layers in Photoshop for screen printing. But yeah, I do everything on Procreate, and I'm just always drawing. If I could just draw and draw and draw, my favorite things to do are speak to teenagers, because that's what I do. I travel around the country speaking to teenagers, and then drawing. Like, I'd do that forever and ever and ever.
Oh, there you go. We got another one for him. Well, so big news, I guess, I didn't know about, because why don't you tell us about the store?
Yeah, this is so crazy. So I opened a brick and mortar retail shop in a mall that is cryptid themed. The name of the store is the Cryptid Collective, and there's 5 of us who went in on it. Gwen from Got Knockers came up, and she found, like, all of us, we're just people who sell at these shows. So, like, Dave Grant, Snarly Yow, he's, you know, you've met him
before. Yeah.
He's got one of the most amazing beards in
ever,
you know, like, and you know, Bill and Karen, just, so we're just selling stuff, right? And Gwen was approached by somebody in this mall in Sealings Grove, Pennsylvania. So this is Susquehanna Valley Mall. And they said, would you be interested in opening a store? We found out that it's like, I don't know if this is going to come as a surprise, but malls are not doing well. They're like coyote reserves at this point in time. But that the kind of cool thing is some of these malls are opening up spaces for people. And so, like, our rent's not bad. And when you split it 5 ways, it's very manageable. So we have all of this stuff in these stores. So, like, I always have crazy inventory. I've got, I probably at any point in time, I have almost 1,000 t-shirts in inventory because I'm always doing these festivals. So I was like, yeah, I can absolutely do that. So I brought t-shirts down and we set everything up. And then the book came out. It actually came out early. It wasn't supposed to come out till June. So I was able to sell the book. A book was a huge seller first day. The fun part about it was that I found that people were buying the book apart from me. So they didn't know. So, like, I've released comic books. I've done different things. And, you know, your aunt buys it. Your best friend buys it. You know, your neighbor buys it because they feel bad for you. Not bad. Not bad. They want to support you.
Right.
They love you, actually. But what was cool was that the book was on the shelf. People didn't even know me. They walked in and they're like, oh, that's awesome. And Mothman's on the cover. And they bought it, you know, instantly. And that was really cool to see. But yeah, this store's got a lot of, I mean, it's all cryptid stuff. And we're going to build it. So we're going to keep, you know, pumping into it. What's neat is that we are looking for artists and writers, authors to have their stuff in the store. There's a very, you'd have to contact us about that, how to get in. But it's not like super complex, but somebody in essence has to champion you. One of the 5 workers, one of the 5 owners has to take you as their, as like a wholesaler. So like we do it all through that way. But yeah, it's been booming. The first weekend was really good. You know, lots and lots of movement. And then we just plan on being very event-based to get people there. We are going to be doing, you know, speakers, authors. And the cool thing is the Central PA Bigfoot event that is going to be August 9th, I believe. It's August 9th. Now, I know that you guys do Hocking Hills, right? That's the same weekend as Hocking Hills. Because there's not enough weekends for all of the Bigfoot events in the world. But that is August 9th in Central PA. So the Susquehanna Valley Mall in Sealings Grove, Pennsylvania, is going to have the Central PA Bigfoot. And that was a huge, so that happened in Elliesburg last year. And that was one of my best events ever. Awesome. That was a fantastic event for me. But I think we've got like over 200 vendors right now. Wow. We're going to pack, we have the entire mall. So the entire mall is going to be vendors, speakers, authors. We're getting bands. We got food trucks. We got all this stuff. We're trying to be the Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree. We're not nearly as good yet. We're getting there. We're clawing toward that. But yeah, so it's fun. We're super excited about that. And then we'll have the mall space. So, and Justin, I'm not going to lie. Listen, I go in there and I'm sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, this would be the perfect place to have a live Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Because there's open stores right there. We could do it. We could like bring people in, pack it out. It could be awesome. So we're looking to do this stuff with professional podcasters and everybody out there. So if you know anybody, tell them to contact us. Look for us on Facebook, Cryptid Collective, or you can reach out to me at Cryptid Empire. But yeah, we're looking to do some really, really cool events.
We will be there. We will do a live show there because that sounds awesome.
I know you will. Like, and we haven't talked about this before.
No, I.
This is just on the spot, but you absolutely got to do it.
We'll do it. Yeah. We're going to do it. I mean, Jay is the, yeah. I don't think Jay's ever told me no on anything.
Jay's like our fourth child. Yeah. He just kind of comes with us.
I forgot we had three for a minute. I'm like, what are you talking about, fourth child?
Who were you forgetting?
Well, I kind of lumped the twins together. They came at the same time, so it just was like...
A two for one.
Yeah, that's a child. No, I mean, I that's amazing, and it's so exciting to have a cryptid store in a mall. And I don't know what you mean why malls aren't... I think malls are doing fine. I think...
Have you met most of the Ohio ones?
Well, the two by us are closed. The Finley Mall closed underneath everybody the week of, and they didn't tell anybody. And then
the one's turning into a Target.
And then the Lima Mall is actively being tore apart as people are shopping.
Yeah.
There's a bulldozer you can see down the hallway.
Yeah.
But
they're not doing great.
No, and it's... I don't know, and I think there's a lot of stores and stuff like that, because it's just... Monsters like Amazon just make it so easy to, well, it'll be here tomorrow, so why would I drive to the mall?
Well, and that's what we're trying to create, an experience. So, like,
that sounds awesome.
The event culture, we think that could go really well. Just like a destination place. What we've been looking at, there's bigger mall spaces. Our space is decent size, but there's bigger open spaces. Now, obviously, that comes with more rent and different things, but I think this thing could grow. As cryptid culture grows, I think this mall can grow. I don't see cryptid culture going away. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, heck, you started a full-time podcasting gig, right? Like, did you ever think at 13 years old you'd be able to do a podcast on Bigfoot?
No. So, yeah.
Right?
It's only, you're 100%, it's only growing. So that's super, super exciting. So we'll definitely do a live show there. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. Let's wrap it up here for the night, unless you have another question for him.
So, like, for all your upcoming events, like, where could they see you?
Oh, yeah.
Potentially coming up. Yeah, on Instagram,
Cryptid Empire. Give me a follow. You're going to be seeing, I'm doing a lot of stuff. I'm speaking. So, get this one. I'm speaking at the West Virginia Bigfoot Conference. West Virginia Bigfoot Festival. I mean, that's a real big one. But I am speaking at the Mothman Festival. Like, this is awesome.
Jeez, that's awesome.
Dream come true level stuff. Speaking there and speaking at Squonk, which is good. Squonkapalooza is going to be great. And I am speaking at your event.
Yes.
Ohio Bigfoot Jamboree. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to the episode in the car, and my kids were listening. And I always love when this happens because I had no idea that you guys were going to talk about me speaking there. And then you're like, hey, David, how are you speaking? And my kids are like, wait, are they talking about you, Dad? And I'm like, yes, they are. But what was funny was that, like, my wife's like, that's cool that they chose you to be a family speaker. And I was like, well, because I don't drop F-bombs. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get up there and say something negative or anything like that. You can trust me. So it's going to be incredibly informative, fun, high energy. I'm bringing high energy.
Good.
That's what I'm doing. So that's where I'm at. Encrypted Empire, I have big plans for Encrypted Empire. I hired an online SEO guy, and we're going to tie some things in. But I got some really, really, really big plans for all of this stuff. So be on the lookout. Give me a follow on Instagram. The Facebook stuff's coming. And then CryptedEmpire.com to get all your awesome t-shirts. It's going to be a big Christmas. We're gearing up for Christmas. It's going to be fantastic. You're going to be able to buy something for your crazy uncle and your weird aunt and your kids and even yourself this Christmas.
There you go. So all the links will be down in the description below. Like always, there'll be the first block of links. So please support him. I have so many. Will we together have so many of his t-shirts, comic books, and now officially the book. You do amazing work. You have an amazing family, and you're an amazing man.
Thank you guys so much. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for being real and authentic. I always say Cryptids of the Corn is the most real and authentic podcast out there, and I love it. It's conversational. You just draw people in. You have a true community, and you care about your people.
100%. That's huge. Thank you.
You care about your people, and that's I think that's the biggest difference.
All right. So you know how we like to end it here. I'm going to count down from three. We're all going to scream bye, and the outro will play. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hey guys, thank you for listening to Cryptids of the Corn podcast. Remember, the best way to support the show is share it with a friend. But if you are craving more of the Jade Clones
and more from Mr. E,
there's always extra content on Patreon
and our paid member space on cryptidsofthecorn.com.
We'll catch you next time with more exciting, fun, and informative information.
Bye!
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.